Well, hello! This is Patricia Corey, and you're listening to Beyond the Matrix, where I have been for the last 3 weeks. So first of all, thank you for your patience waiting for me to return. I have had, some pretty exciting experiences that I'm going to be talking to you about today. In fact, I don't have a guest on because I want to share with you some of the remarkable things that are going on in the life of Patricia Corey, and going on in the oceans, going on in the world. And I invite all of you to call in. It's been a long time since I've had call-ins on the show, so please do call in. And once we get rolling, I'm going to be basically talking about the whales and the dolphins. Those of you who know me know this is my passion, and it will be very important in my life and hopefully in yours in the time to come ahead. So before I really dive in, please take note of the toll-free number where you can call in to give us your questions. The number is 888-815-9756 in the U.S. and in Canada, 530-327-7602. And geez, for the rest of you, I realize it might be expensive to call in long distance, but you can always send in an email to me while the show is going on at patcorey@tiscali.it, and I'll get your questions answered. So this is kind of a free-for-all time to share some views, get excited, talk about what we light workers are doing to help the whales and the dolphins and all the living creatures of the oceans, and just generally connect in a really powerful way. Okay, well, first of all, again, I want to thank you. I have been spending some time in the beautiful, beautiful lands of Mexico that I love and admire. And I would like to start by thanking all of you who are listening, who attended my DNA workshop in Mexico City. Boy, we had a great time, didn't we? Whew! Very powerful. Thank you all for bringing so much light into one room and your openness and all of your gifts. I was very honored to be part of that experience. And I saw Avatar in Mexico. Whew, again, what a great film. I'm surprised to hear some people saying, too bad it was about war and destruction. I hope that many of you or most of you looked beyond that symbolism and understood the deep meaning of this fabulous film. The oneness, the tree of life, the beauty that surrounds us on this planet and other worlds as well. And maybe we can talk about that too. And I'm going to dive in shortly to talk about my unfavorite subject, which is Navy sonar testing in the oceans, because I just can't go very long without being controversial. It's in my nature. That's what I'm here to do, stir up the pot. And that is what we're going to do today. Okay, well, I do want to tell you a little bit about my time in the beautiful Cabo San Lucas. And for those of you who have been asking me when I'm going to do the whale watching trip, it was originally planned for September in Canada, but the Canadians are just not being too supportive and have very expensive ideas about getting people out on the water. So I'm going to have to reprogram that trip. And lo and behold, map seems to be pointing a big arrow at Cabo San Lucas, which is, well, some of the purest ocean in the world. I believe that from the months of January to March, Cabo San Lucas and the surrounding area has about 30% of the cetacean population on this planet there. So it makes sense to me that that's the place to be. And it's not going to be hard to get Pat Corey back to Cabo San Lucas because truly it is paradise on earth. So mark your calendar, and if you are of the people that wanted to join me on that sacred journey, please get an email to me right away, patcorey@tiscalinet.it, so that I can put you on the list for people that will possibly be coming on that trip. Oh, yes, it is. Well, if any of you have been on my trips, you know I try to mix fun with the spiritual pursuit. pilgrimage and otherworldly experience. And that is what I promise you as we go out to be one with the whales and dolphins and hopefully hear their song and sing back to them. So that's in the works. It's probably going to be January of 2011 as we soar ahead to the great 2012 time. And if you just heard that little bing, 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 it's because I'm coming to you via Skype and must have the sound up on the computer, so don't let it disturb you. All right. Let's see what I can do here to make sure there isn't any additional interference. There we go. I'll get that turned down. All righty. Let's talk about Cabo San Lucas. There is a place near Cabo. Well, near. It is 6 hours away from Cabo San Lucas, and it is called Magdalena Bay. In this amazing place, the whales, primarily gray whales, those giants, they can grow up to they can be up to 30 feet long, and I can personally attest to that because I had one swimming right near my boat and at times wondered if this was going to be the moment when I joined the whales and dolphins in heaven because they could easily have capsized the boat. What a place. Basically, to get to this place, it's about a six-hour drive away from the sort of chic resort place of Cabo San Lucas through the Mexican desert, which is breathtaking, and past La Paz, which is not to be believed for its beauty, and finally to this natural reserve where the whales find pretty much predator-free breeding waters to bear their young. What an honor, what a joy to be there just at the time when they are giving birth or have given birth and the first babies, the calves, are swimming, learning. I shouldn't say learning how to swim because they come out swimming, it seems. But to see these mothers with their calves in these gentle waters is an ultimate experience. And I will be taking people there on this journey and probably camping out on the dunes nearby this magnificent place. Having this experience, being with the whales and the dolphins yet again, can only impact me more urgently with the need for us humans to unite forces here. There's so much going on against these beautiful creatures. I hate to sound like an old drum beating my message, but never before have I felt such an urgency to be in service to them. And I appeal to all of you. We love them. We love to watch them in video. We love to hear their music. But for God's sakes, I appeal to you. Now is the time for light workers to unite to save the whales and the dolphins. And that is why I'll be talking about this today and begging you to do everything possible that you can possibly do. And I have some ideas about that, which I'll be talking about. Oh, boy, it is sometimes very difficult to take on the work of spirit warriorship. And as much as I'm filled with the joy of being with them, there is a weightiness in the feeling that without our help, we won't have them around much longer. And as you know, those of you who are in contact with me, that is the subject of the book I'm working on now, which is entitled Before We Leave You, Messages from the Great Whales and the Dolphins. And I probably will add, and from the woman who loves them, from a woman who loves them beyond measure, that would be me. Talking about some of the reasons why they beach and some of the reasons why they simply can no longer stay on this planet without human intervention. So I ask you to think about that when we dive into a subject that I've brought up before on my show, but which I feel needs to be discussed over and over and over again until we do something about it. Not to say that there aren't a lot of troopers out there really trying, doing their best work to effect change. I certainly am not the first, nor will I be the last lover of cetaceans on this planet. But what seems to be lacking is an overall unity, all the factions working on their own, doing good work, but never consolidating their efforts so that there is a huge wave of human outcry and an enormous coordinated effort of people working together. That's what it's going to take, and that is what we need to do. So this year I'm going to establish a foundation, which will be called BeforeTheyLeaveUs.org. And this foundation is going to be about pulling people as much as I can possibly do together, bringing all of the associations together and helping to establish a sense of understanding that we can't make it alone. It's not enough to work in small groups. Certainly not when you're fighting, or shall I choose a better word, trying to bring light to the dark forces that would definitely love to annihilate everything living on the planet, and most certainly in the ocean. And with that, I will segue into the discussion of Navy Sonar, which I have brought up before, as I said, and which I feel we need to keep talking about. I had on my show a woman named Rosalind Peterson, who is a real spirit warrior, who I just so admire her. And she is boldly, fearlessly going after the Navy, trying to bring light to people, enlightenment to people about what is intended in the next 5 years by the Navy, and trying to stop them. So I'm going to read you a little article that comes from her site, which is called www.californiaskywatch.com, where she exposes this situation. I'm going to read you a letter that she wrote to the following people: President Barack Obama, Dianne Feinstein, these are senators, Jeff Merkley, Ron Wyden, and Barbara Boxer, the U.S. Speaker of the House of Representatives, Nancy Pelosi, U.S. California Congressman Mike Thompson and Henry Waxman, Oregon Congressman Kurt Schrader, Earl Blumenauer, Peter DeFazio, and David Wu, the governors of the state of California and Oregon, the Attorney General of the state of California, U.S. elected officials at every level of government, and citizens of the United States. Here goes. I hope you won't get bored as I read you this, which I don't usually do, but I feel it's important for all of us to know exactly what is contained in this message. I will, it's about an 8-page message, I won't read it all, but I do want you to hear this. Here goes. The United States Navy and the U.S. Department of Defense have decided that their Northwest Training Range complex in the state of Washington should be expanded, and have devised a draft environmental impact statement dated December 2008 for public review and comment. The expansion of their area of operation will include the state of Washington, the state of Oregon, part of the state of Idaho, and Northern California. And I'd like to just interject that that is where they will be admitting they're operating. These designated areas will also include large areas of the Pacific Ocean from California to the state of Washington and areas along the border between the United States and Canada. Once implemented, there is no date specified in EIS, which is the Environmental Impact Statement, for this Navy warfare testing program to end. Ha ha, surprise, surprise. Although various documents show that this is a 5-year Navy warfare testing program. So, no end date. Get it? The U.S. commander of the Pacific Fleet has given American citizens and residents of these states a very short time to comment on their draft EIS. That will be the acronym for Environmental Impact Statement, published on December 30th, 2008, and with the final public comment stay of execution deadline originally moved to April 13th, 2009. Don't let that bother you. You can still voice your concerns. So let us not allow these deadlines to determine our behavior. Mm-hmm. U.S. citizens in four states demanded this extension and more public hearings and are opposing this catastrophic program. United States Navy has also published an application as an addendum to their program in the U.S. Federal Register dated March 11, 2009. Hear this. This application for the Navy, quote, requests or is authorization to take individuals, take is the word, of 32 species of marine mammals during upcoming Navy warfare testing and training to be conducted in the Pacific Coast areas of Washington, Oregon, and Northern California over the course of 5 years. I'm trying to keep a stiff upper lip here as I share this dark information with you all. And the show isn't about darkness, but by God, we have to shine light into this place, into the dark corners of reality. The Navy warfare testing program will, quote, utilize mid- and high-frequency active sonar sources and explosive detonations. These sonar and explosive sources will be utilized during anti-submarine warfare, tracking exercises, mine avoidance training, extended echo ranging, and improved extended echo ranging events, whatever that is, missile exercises, gunnery exercises, bombing exercises, sinking exercises, and mine warfare training. God help the whales and the dolphins. According to Navy Public Relations Officer Sheila Murray, the United States Navy is already conducting warfare testing programs throughout the United States. During the last 2 years, it is alleged that the Navy has issued nearly identical environmental impact statements for Navy warfare training range complexes in the following areas: the Mariana Islands, the Hawaiian Islands, Jacksonville, Florida, Cherry Point, North Carolina, the Gulf of Alaska, and Southern California. It is unknown at this time how many marine mammals have been killed in these programs since their inception. The Pacific and Atlantic Oceans belong to all the people of the world, not just the United States government. This taking of marine mammals negatively impacts the entire ecology of our oceans and the life in them, which feeds large number of people, for starters, and other species around the world. Now the United States government has decided that California, Oregon, Washington, and Idaho, and the Pacific Ocean marine life in those areas are expendable in order to test more war weapons of mass destruction. It should be noted that the list of toxic chemicals, get this, is a long one, as noted, as noted in the Navy EIS depleted uranium, red and white phosphorus, and a whole host of chemicals known to be toxic not only to man, but of course to marine life, are being served up on the Navy warfare chemical menu that will contaminate not only the water, but our air and soil as well. Let's talk about what this is. White phosphorus. Do you know about this? This is just one of the chemicals on the Navy toxic menu. In assessing the potential hazards associated with the use of phosphorus smoke munitions, a gentleman named Berkowitz, a scientist, reported that white phosphorus residues in aquatic systems can be extremely toxic. Berkowitz stated that the deposition of washout of white phosphorus, especially in water bodies, may create exposure risks to resident finfish, invertebrates, and waterfowl, even if white phosphorus concentrations are in the low ppb range. It's like these guys don't get that everything is interconnected. Oh, man, what else have we got here? Well, white phosphorus and red phosphorus, big, big problem for all living beings. And I just want to also talk about what they mean by take. There is, for what it's worth, a Marine Mammal Protection Act, which apparently isn't working, which defines take as, quote, to harass, to harm, to pursue, to hunt, shoot, wound, trap, capture, or collect, or to attempt to engage in any such conduct. That meaning that the Navy, in saying they want permission to take these mammals, means they're going to do any or all of those acts in the name of war games, war testing, whatever you want to call it. That's what they're going to do. And this is about to be approved. So there is not very much resistance. There is resistance, but not enough. So here's what I want you to do. Even though we're supposedly to have had our resistance into them by the absolute deadline of April, whatever, I want you to write this down, write this address down. Well, I'm looking for an email address and I don't find it. I'll tell you what, I'll get back to the address after the, at the end of the show, and I will then also post it on my site so that we don't have to take time trying to write it all out here during the show. All right, back to white phosphorus. In a study called Mammalian Toxicology and Toxicity to Aquatic Organisms of White Phosphorus, the report says white phosphorus is highly toxic to both experimental animals and man, and that has big implications for humans, although my concern, of course, at the moment is more focused on the direct impact on sea life. But white phosphorus is going to be a big item in the warfare toolkit, and I want everyone to consider what this is going to mean to some of our most pristine coastlines, some of the best, the still least polluted oceans, like I have just been in the magnificent Cabo, in the pristine sacred waters of Magdalena Bay, in the oceans there that are so rich in sea life that the shores are literally strewn with shells and skulls of many sea creatures. I sat on the beach and watched 10 whales spouting on the shore. For God's sakes, guys, do we really want this water to be used as a war game, war testing environment, when we've already got so much of that going on our Earth? Oh, man. Concerned citizens in Oregon, Washington, Idaho, and California, along with citizens across the United States, are protesting this action by the United States government and the Navy. All of our elected representatives are silent when it comes to opposing this disastrous program. Needless to say, the major news media has elected not to cover the story, leaving coverage to a few small local newspapers in remote areas, and of course, to us, the alternative media, trying to make a difference out there and trying to get you the truth, braving whatever pressures will come down upon us. So, Rosalind's messages, we hope that everyone will join us in demanding that the current ongoing Navy weapons programs in Oregon is suspended permanently and that the new proposed Navy warfare testing program expansion is stopped. Please protest. You know, and I've got to talk about this because people, I get the weirdest messages from people who claim that they're light workers and spiritual people. And they say, geez, Patricia, I'll give you an example. Geez, Patricia, it's really too bad that you're so worked up about this. You being a spiritual being should know that if it's the destiny of the whales and the dolphins to leave, then we should allow them to honor their soul purpose and go. And I have to say that sounds good in theory, but If we can be better, let's. If we can help them, let's do that. Isn't their soul intention to leave? Or are they being forced, literally forced out of the oceans because of these tests, these outrageous sonic booms? And they're turning up the decibels to the point that they are ripping the skulls of these beings apart, blowing their brains out, literally blowing their brains out. Why am I worked up about this? Because I'm a concerned human being, and I think we can be better than this, and I think that united we can stop this. I always believe united we can stop or create everything and anything, and I think it's time. It's show and tell time on planet Earth. What the whales and dolphins are telling me in this new book, which is going to be out next spring, is this. The torture is so intense when these sonic machines blow that we leap out of the ocean knowing that we're going to our death, because death is so much sweeter. Passing is so much sweeter than having to bear such suffering, such torturous pain. This is what's coming from the Navy to, let's see, I suppose it's to keep us safe, yeah? Keeping us safe from what, you ask? Well, that's a question I think we should propose to our government representatives, don't you? And I know that most of us don't have much respect or faith in the government, but we've got to work with it. They do react to public pressure, and we have to work with it. So let's do whatever it takes. I will be, this year when I get this foundation started, I will be asking organizations to send me proposals of what they're going to be doing to help the whales and dolphins and the sea life. I'm going to be calling on people to spread the messages around the world. I'm going to be doing my best to get funding from individuals like you. In fact, I have a plan. It's going to be the one less Starbucks coffee a week campaign, where instead of giving $5 to Star Wars. Starbucks! Instead of giving $5 to Starbucks for a cappuccino, I will ask, would you be willing to give that $5 a week to an organization that is going to go out and do and fight for the whales and dolphins? And would you entrust me as the director of that effort in order to get the whole world rocking together to make changes, to change the plight of our sea beings, these great, beautiful, musical, wondrous beings? I'd like to hear from some of you. No calls are coming in. Come on, call in and let's talk about how you feel about this. Because surely you feel. You must feel. It's so important to have a very strong opinion about the innocent, the voiceless on this planet and what we can do about it. All right, I'm going to start with the address, as big as I said, I will put it on my site. But the contact that you're going to want to make is to a gentleman called Michael Payne. He's the guy that gives the permits to the Navy to do all this. He must be a pretty important guy, eh? To give the Navy the permission to blast the oceans and take sea mammals, an exorbitant amount of animals they're planning, they're letting us know, are going to die in the name of, suppose it's national security or terrorist protection. Here's his mailbox, PR1.0648-. This is why I wanted to do it later. XN87. I'm going to repeat that. PR1 www.ss.0648-xn87@noaa.gov. And I will definitely get that out on my site. And I beg of you, please care. Please get out of your world, your box, and do something important to help, whatever you feel that is. You can find a copy of the Navy's application for this permission to kill the whales and dolphins and living beings in the oceans and the air. In the name of, am I being sarcastic, do you think? In the name of security, the website is www.nmf.noaa.gov. In fact, that site, noaa.gov, gives you a look at a lot of things that are going on that you need to know about. So I suggest you take a good look at that when you have time and get informed about what these guys are doing. All right, what else do I want to talk to you about? I guess I want to move away from the negative thoughts and information that I had to talk about here, because that's not what I'm about, and tell you about some pretty exciting things that happened to me in Kabul. I went to a dolphin swim center, even though I really don't want to know about dolphin swim locations where people go and jump and laugh and watch the dolphins dance for them. So I was torn between that and the wild adventure of leaping off a boat into the open ocean, which I'm still not quite ready to do. In Cabo, the ocean is freezing cold. They don't allow it. And it is so full of different kinds of marine life. I just have a little hesitation, shall we say, of just leaping into the ocean. But I wanted to go there. I wanted to be close to the dolphins. I wanted to do some psychic experimenting. And so I acquiesced to making my first encounter in a dolphin center. I was really very fortunate. The Dolphin Center there is called the Dolphin Center, so if any of you are interested, it's a no-brainer on how to contact them. And the director, whose name was Alex, was very gracious. Originally, they told me that I had asked if I could be alone. They said no. I had asked, would there be a special time that I could be with them when other people weren't there? They said no. They have their routine. And it was just basically a no until I got there and managed to speak directly with the director and look into his eyes and say, I really need to, I'm here because I want to make contact and touch and speak, psychically speak to a dolphin. And he was sensitive. In fact, his eyes watered up. And he said, we do care about them, about their spirit. And I don't want you to think that this is just an entertainment center. What we do here is we let people come in and swim, but we don't put on shows. And he said, well, I mean, there's a little bit of show, a little bit of leaping and things, but it's not just come in, look at the show, throw the fish and go. And I understood that. And he said, why are you asking for this and what is your mission? And I explained that what I do and that I was called to be with them. And that I needed to swim with a dolphin on my own. And he said, okay, we're going to make that happen. And I'm sure you'll appreciate this, the essence of my story. Not only did he make sure it would happen, but the universe did, because the day that I went to this place in Cabo San Lucas, a place that gets maybe 4 days of rain a year, it started to pour. And I mean, we're talking flood water, pouring out of control rain, which meant no people came except Crazy Pat. In my freezing bathing suit, I was really challenged, but I laughed because the rain came down on the day of my Druid wedding ceremony as well in England last year. And I acknowledge this as a beautiful celebration of emotion, which is what water is, and laughed at how the universe works because the place cleared out and I was the only one there. I'm sure you'll find that entertaining, as I do. At any rate, I was given this opportunity to swim with one dolphin in particular, who they've named Renoir. I'd like to talk about it. Renoir, I was told, is an adolescent dolphin. He's very nervous. They claim that he was swimming alone in the ocean and had no pod with him. And I'd like to believe that. He wasn't just stolen from his pod. That said, he was described as being very nervous, jittery, and he hated rain because it was so unusual that when it would rain, he would go down deep and stay down below until the rain stopped. So here I was. The trainer that was assigned to me was the one who was the trainer for this dolphin. And she basically told me she didn't have great expectations, but all right, go ahead and jump in, which I did. So he swam around the tank once under command of his trainer. And I asked her to stop with the commands, stop with the fish, and let me see if there was a way of interacting with him without the behavior modification. And she didn't quite know what to do with this, but she acquiesced to it. And I swam out into the middle of this giant pool tank, freezing, and put my arms out and asked him to come. And I'd like to tell you, those of you who have not swum with a dolphin, that that is a very challenging thing to do because when a dolphin starts coming straight at you from across a body of water, it's a little bit daunting, especially if you've never done it before. Up he came, he swam around me, and then swam back to her. And when she didn't give him the reward, the fish, he looked back at me, and this time he came to me naturally. He swam up to me, swam around me again, and I was communicating to him, won't you let me just touch you? Won't you just be with me? All right, we've got a caller, and it's Edward from New York. Hi, Edward.
Hello, Patricia.
Hello, darling. Thank you for calling in.
Yes, excuse me, I didn't call earlier because I'm kind of in a rush right now. And I'm actually very excited to speak with you. My heart is like racing right now. I have so much energy flowing through my veins. I feel so excited, right?
Well, you're transmitting it to me. I can feel it too.
Yes. You know, I just read your book a long time ago. It was Starseed Awakening, right? Mm-hmm. And what touched me was that everything you were speaking about on that book, it was just what different people were saying to me, explaining to me, different people at different times, and it all synchronized in your book. It was like, wow, you were talking about everything they were talking about. And my life just started becoming so synchronistic. I started growing so much in awareness, and I started connecting with nature in such an amazing way. And I think, you know, when we think about animals and us as humans, and, you know, maybe there's this superiority complex or whatever, but, you know, everything is connected, and you set the energy around you. You know, you're an attractive force. You have this, you know, I believe you set orbits of energy around you. You're attracted with your thoughts, and, you know, it's the energy you put out that creates pretty much anything, because you could put any type of energy out, and it can create such amazing realities. It's like, so I feel so, you know, I'm just a New Yorker over here. I'm only 23, and I'm just living my life. You know, I got a 9-to-5 and all of that, but I really believe I'm a fly one day. I really believe I'm gonna become more aware of, you know, telepathy and those concepts. And I'm really a passionate learner, Patricia. You know, and I love animals.
And I have to interject that you are already flying. You're awakening. You're tuning in. This is wonderful. I don't mean tuning into the show. I mean tuning into nature, tuning into everything that surrounds you.
Definitely. I feel it, Patricia. I really feel it. And your book was definitely opened me up to a lot of different concepts. I mean, it was just awesome. You know, I read it, and it was, especially the way you spoke about love and how, you know, it's just, you know, finding beauty in something simply because it exists. That's what I was so passionate about getting to people, you know, getting through their heads. Not just don't think about the next cell phone or the next, you know, just find so many distractions, but really love one another and stop being having so much expectation for to have a person be just like you, you know.
Yeah, Edward, I want to say that you may be just 23, but you're full of love, and I'm really excited to see that young people are like you, waking up to a deeper meaning and a greater purpose to life than the superficial stuff that's being fed to you.
Yes, and I believe that when I walk in a room, I feel the energy change. I feel like I'm inspiring so many people from all ages around me. You know, I feel like I connect with people very, very well. Very well. I mean, I'm a hip-hop artist, and I express this love through hip-hop, and it sounds great, Patricia. It sounds awesome. I love what I'm doing, so I know my
wow,
future is
that's
very
crazy.
Bright.
I'm not crazy about hip-hop, but if you're doing love with hip-hop, you're going to have to send me something that I can listen to, and so I can support
definitely.
You.
Definitely, definitely, definitely. That'll be awesome. You know, I'm still working on a lot of different things, but what I've been working on recently has just been, you know, because every time, I will always say that because every song is, like, better than me, you know? And that's how I want to keep it, just keep growing it with every aspect of my life. And I just want to keep growing and becoming more aware of what this is, because they even exist, and to be in this vessel, this body, and to have like this clear consciousness, not knowing where it came from, and then, you know, you go undergo these influences searching for your identity. I mean, it's incredible. You know, it's incredible. I can't just sit here and not wonder about it, you know.
Well, you keep do me this honor and keep spreading light into the hip hop movement so that we can move away from the violence and the lower energy and use this vehicle which is so popular to shift people into a higher state of being.
Definitely, definitely.
So do you have a question for me before we move on to the next caller?
I just want to say I love you very much. I spoke to you on Facebook before the show, and you told me you were going on the air, and I came and I listened, and just you do the same. What you told me, keep doing what you're doing, love. Seriously, You helped a lot to charge what I feel right now. So just thank you so much.
Thank you. I feel the emotion of your spirit all the way down from my head to my toes. And that means I'm in resonance with you. And I love you, and I'm very grateful for your call. And please consider when it's time to help, when I get this foundation going, will you help me help the whales and the dolphins?
Definitely, definitely. I will definitely do that.
All right, good. Well, thank you for bringing your love to the program and to everyone. You're going to work?
I'm going to meet my girl right now. We're going to go on a helicopter ride.
All right. Well, you give her my love, and when you're flying over the Statue of Liberty, just remember that what it's supposed to mean, yeah? If you get my drift.
All right, Patricia, thank you so much.
Calling in, all my love to you. And read the other books too.
Definitely, definitely. I will.
All right, bye, my love.
Bye, Patricia.
Thanks to Edward. That was a great 23 years old and so awakening to what it means to be a human being. having a spiritual experience and a spiritual being having a human one. Are we lucky or what? Okay, well, that was emotional. Now let me think, where was I talking about? I completely lost my chain of thought, but I was somewhere in the ocean, right? Thinking about, yes, of course, with Renoir. Well, I just wanted to say, and I have posted this image on my Facebook page, for those of you who are friends on Facebook, that this gorgeous dolphin swam into my arms and basically just stopped. He laid down in my arms, and I put my hands on him, having been a healer for so many years. He took the healing, and I remember that I could feel his heartbeat. Can I tell you what that felt like for me? To feel a dolphin's heartbeat. And I said, I can feel your heart beating. Can you feel mine? And the connection was so intense, so pure, so immense that I'm still clearly reeling in the importance of it and the depth of it. And I just was there with him. For the longest time, it felt the no time, the experience of the all that is, that ever was, and always will be. And that moment was like I had never experienced it before. Sorry for the emotion, but, I'm not sorry for the emotion. It's who I am. So, interestingly enough, after this amazing connection and the many dreams that followed and the channeled messages that are coming for the book, I am just immersed in dolphin and whales up to my chinny chin chin. And when I went the next day, I hired a boat to take me out on the ocean. And the manager of this company, really great guy, who I hope is listening, Manuel, if you're listening, this is for you. Company is called Cabo Sales. Great people, very spiritual people. He took me out on the ocean, the most grueling experience of my life, because the water was really, really choppy after the storm of the day before. And it was my first time getting seasick, and hopefully my last. And at the end of the day, he said, Patricia, this doesn't count. I'll give you credit for this, because it was a terrible experience. Even though we saw whales everywhere, who could care when you're that green from being in the rough, rough ocean? But he said, where you really need to go is Magdalena Bay, which I knew, but it was just so difficult to get there that I had dismissed it for this trip. So he volunteered himself and his beautiful wife, Serena, to take time off from his business and to drive me to 6 hours away to Magdalena Bay. I'm so blessed. People just seem to always come forward and reach a hand, especially in those moments of spiritual exploration. And off we went. We went to Magdalena Bay. Now here's the story that I want you to know about. In Magdalena Bay, where the whales and dolphins, particularly the gray whales, are birthing, at the side of the bay, or lining this, protecting the bay from the ocean itself, is a strip of land which is the most beautiful, pure sand dunes, the most beautiful. I've never seen sand like this. So immaculate, so brilliant. It was like being on another planet. And after we spent time floating around with the watching the whales and whatever, the boat driver said, if you really want to see something special, we suggest that you cross the sand dunes, and at the other side you're going to be on a piece of Pacific Ocean that's really rough and really natural, and you'll see a lot of whales there, and it's well worth the climb. And we did it. I do amaze myself because I'm not the most fit person on the planet, but I managed to climb and crawl and go up pyramids and hike. This was almost a mile, maybe a mile? No, let's say a kilometer of rough up and down on the sand dunes. And we get to this pristine beach that the Navy would like to fill with white phosphorus, but we're going to do something about. And we saw shells everywhere. I mean, it was there. I couldn't believe what was on that beach. It was just so uncontaminated. And out on the water, there were at least 7-8 whales, humpback whales. It was like being in a fantasy. And as we were walking, Serena reached down. She saw, at the same time that I saw, what looked like part of a skull or something like the top of a skull buried in the sand. And she said, "Look at that." And Manuel said, "Yeah, I saw that. It looks like a coconut." And she and I blurted out, "This doesn't look like any coconut to me." And she started to dig down. And what does she uncover, folks? A perfect, intact, majestic dolphin skull. I mean, a big, perfect dolphin skull with the whole protuberance of the teeth. I want to use the word beak because that's what it looks like. Without a chip in it, just sitting there waiting. She was doing the uncovering, and this was such a treasure for people like us, such an enormous treasure that anyone would have wanted to keep that. She pulls it out of the sand, and she presents it to me and says, "Patricia, we all know this was meant to be yours." I can't tell you what this was like. The ancestral energies of the dolphin. For me, this being presented to me was clear and absolute, unquestionable validation that the contact is real, the mission is clear, and the love is returned, reciprocated. And unquestionably, the dolphin and the whales community made sure that all of this transpired in however the universe works. This beautiful guy saying, "Hey, where you really need to go is Magdalena." Us climbing across the, even the getting sick on the boat, the water was too rough, where you need to go is Magdalena. It all fits in, and that is a beautiful spiritual lesson. Instead of focusing on what a bummer the day was of getting so sick on the boat, we focused on what was, you know, what it meant was him getting me up to Magdalena. And here, out of the generosity of spirit of this beautiful couple and our discovery, this incredible dolphin skull has come home with me. And as a shaman, that means dolphin medicine is now in my space. I think this is really an important thing to share. It's very rare, very exciting, and I had to tell you what it means to me and hopefully what it means to you as well. Oh, I've just gotten an email from one of my dear friends. His name is Vicente. Ciao, Vicente. We spent time together in Mexico City. In fact, Vicente and Pablo took me to see Avatar, another deeply emotional experience. Vicente is saying that he and Pablo opened a petition against the Navy sonar some time ago. It seems that the petition had been closed down, but he's going to post it again. And so please, we're watching for that on the petition site. We need to raise as thousands of names to assure that this petition reaches the gentleman that I mentioned earlier. What was his name again? Let's see. And I use the term gentleman loosely. And I'm sorry if that gets me in trouble with the big kahuna.